Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back, and I'm glad to see some young people over here. I was told that you guys are relatively new to here. Well, I don't know you. You probably don't know this, but about 15 years ago, I was a youth pastor here. So have you been born a little bit earlier that we will have met? And for the rest of you guys, probably some of you saw me before. I'm glad to be given the chance to come back and preach every once in a while. Just this morning, I was told that you guys are actually going through the series on the Book of Mark. So, but not quite the end yet. So today I'm giving out the ending. I hope I'm not spoiling anything. Spoiler alert. Today, I would talk about the Book of Mark, how it ends. It might be a little bit surprising to you that I think the Book of Mark actually ends on chapter 16, verse 8. Afterwards, those are probably not original. You may think, what's happening? What's going on? Well, it's a textual issue over here that we believe that after verse 8, those are not originally from Mark. So does it mean the Bible is not reliable? No, the Bible is reliable, but we probably have some text more than the original. Now, if you want to know more about that, you probably talk to Pastor Jeffrey to know more about it. But what I'm trying to say is this. I try to look at the Book of Mark and think about the intention of the author, what he's trying to tell us. So we try to look at the message of Mark and have the full-blown effect and know more about what God is trying to tell us and how should we respond. So hopefully that is not too alarming to anyone and not too disturbing. It's a big topic, but at the very least, you should know that the Bible that we have in our hand is very reliable. It's the Word of God. We just need to learn more about how to know it accordingly. Okay, so speaking of that, if you have a Bible with you, I would like to encourage you to embrace God's Word, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us your Word. By looking, by reading, by listening to the Scripture, we know the message that you've given us. And we're thankful that you sent your Son Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. He came into history and let us know more about you. And we're thankful that Jesus died on the cross. As we approach Easter, help us to once again be touched by your love. Once again, be amazed by your power. Once again, be drawn to behold your glory. We commit the following time to you. We ask that you speak to us, touch our heart, and change our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. What happened? My coach looked at me. I had my head down. I could barely utter the words. I ran away. I didn't compete. When I was in high school, I was a track runner. Throughout all those years, I kept training hard, but I never won anything, never got a medal. Until I was in Form 5. Back then, there's something called Form 5, and there's a big public exam. It's until I got to Form 5, maybe I was like 17 at that time. It's the first time I got my medal, and I got a gold medal. Whoa, it was quite a big jump. Like all those years of hard training, I finally see the result. I became first in the inter-school competition in 400-meter hurdles. And my coach is so proud of me. My whole school was cheering for me. I was like a hero. I'm on top of the world. And after I got my gold medal, I stopped training and was preparing for the big public exams. So for maybe like 2-3 months, I didn't step my foot on the track. I didn't train at all. So after my public exams, I got back to training, and my coach was like, okay, let's try on a small competition. Just do it as a training, okay? So go and compete. That morning, I got to the track, and then as I was about to get myself ready, about to warm up, I suddenly have this fear. I didn't want to run. Do you know why? It's because I'm the gold medalist. How can I lose to someone now? In the past, I was that guy who was training hard and I was fearlessly competing against everyone. I don't care if I lose or not, but I just give my best every time. But now, because I'm the gold medalist, I don't want to lose to anyone. Now I'm not in shape, right? I just finished studying. I didn't train at all. So I didn't want to run. As people was warming up, I ran away. I left the track. So my coach asked me what happened. It was too shameful for me to admit. As my fear of losing took away what got me the gold medal. Brothers and sisters, I think every one of us, to a certain degree, we all had our failure in life. Have different reasons. Maybe it's because we achieved something, we lost something. Maybe it's like we stumbled over something, we made a mistake. Or maybe we didn't get what we want and we gave up. I think more or less, to a certain degree, we all have a share of failures in our life. Probably you tell yourself, I'll read the Bible every day. But I don't know, I don't remember how many times I failed. Maybe you say to yourself, I will not stumble over the internet anymore. But the same thing keep repeating. Maybe you promise your wife or your spouse that I will treat her or him nicely. But too many times, we intentionally or unintentionally hurt each other. I think we, to a certain degree, made a lot of commitment to the Lord, but many times we failed. We couldn't keep our word. As followers of Jesus, we all have our failures. Sometimes it's because we are too afraid of failing, so we run away. Sometimes it's we intentionally choose not to do what we know we should do. Sometimes it's like we try hard, but somehow we got weak and we failed. For whatever reason, in different contexts, in different situations, we all have our share of failure. So the question is, how should we respond to that? Are we still blaming ourselves? Is it too shameful for us to face our failure? Have we rejected ourselves to a point that we think God also rejected us? How shall we look at a failure of life as a follower of Christ? Today, as we look at the book of Mark, I would like to encourage you to think deeper and see what the book of Mark is telling us. Now, as I know that you have been studying the book of Mark, and can I go to the PowerPoint, please? The structure of Mark is a journey. It's a journey of discipleship. It's a journey of following Jesus. It started in the desert in the beginning. And then in Galilee, Jesus called his disciples to follow him. Then they were on the way to Jerusalem. And then when they get to Jerusalem, okay, then Jesus was caught and he suffered and he died on the cross. And in the end, it's a tomb. The author of Mark intentionally used different location to see that it's a journey. We're moving from place to place. But it's interesting, before they get on the way to Jerusalem, there is a blindness to sight healing. And right before they get to Jerusalem, at the end on the way, there's another blindness to sight. There's only two miracles of blindness to sight in the book of Mark that is bracketed before and after on the way. So if you look at the structure of Mark, you can say the first chapter, Act 1, is the discernment of Jesus as a person, who Jesus is, that is happening in Galilee. And the second act is acceptance of Jesus' mission. When they're on the way, Jesus is revealing more about himself, and he's telling us what is his mission, and should the disciples follow him to the end? And in Act 3, when you get to Jerusalem, that is a faithfulness to Jesus to the end. that we know that he's going to die on the cross, but what will happen? So as we look at the structure of Mark, we get on this journey of discipleship. We get on this journey of following Jesus, started by being caught in Galilee, and then get on the way, and then go to Jerusalem and see what happened. Today, we look at the end of the Mark, see how Mark's finished. And I will try to look at three different things. First, we'll look at what is missing, what Mark didn't say. And then we'll look at what was intended to say, what Mark did record. And then at the end, we'll see what Mark wants us to know. What is the intention of telling us that? So let's look at the first thing. What is missing? By looking at what is missing, we find out that that's the failure of the disciples. Because the disciples were nowhere to be found. If you're a Bible with you, please turn to Mark chapter 15. We look at verse 40. Now, some women were watching from a distance. That's after Jesus died. They're looking around. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and then Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his need. Many other women had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now, these women are there. Three named women were here. It's kind of like the three close disciples of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, are not here. These women are looking. They used to serve Jesus, just like the disciples who used to be following Jesus. Now the disciples are gone, but women are here. They are looking. In the book of Mark, they use different words of looking, seeing, observing. This is talking about they are trying to figure out what's going on. They are understanding, they are discerning what's going on. Okay, so we see that the women are more like the disciples than the disciples. Like, they are supposed to follow Jesus to the end, but they went away. They fled in the morning watch, but now it's the next day, the women are still here. And then, verse 42, it was the preparation day. Okay, now, so everything approached. As evening approached, Joseph was there. Okay, he's a prominent member of the council. Okay, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Then he boldly asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. It is indeed a bold move. It's a very courageous move. But Jesus was just crucified. Okay, he died as a criminal. Now, Joseph is not supposed to be one of the 12. He's not supposed to be one of the close followers of Jesus. But he's asking for Jesus' body and to give him a proper burial. He doesn't mind to be tied with this criminal, so to speak. He asked for his body, and then he treated nicely and put it in a tomb. Okay, go back to your PowerPoint, please. Is it coming up? Or I always have trouble when it comes to PowerPoint. Okay, now we see that the women remain after the man has abandoned Jesus, still following him. Now Joseph showed courage after the men have fled in fear. The disciples left already, but is Joseph asking for his body? It's interesting that in the book of Mark, the dead body, the corpse, this word in Greek, only appear twice. The second time is here. Do you know where it's the first time? When John the Baptist died, his disciples took his body and buried him. Now, that is what disciples are supposed to do, right? As the disciples of John the Baptist, after John died, his disciples took his body and buried him. And we're expecting the 12 to do this right here now, but they are nowhere to be seen. And now Joseph is doing that instead of the disciples, asking for Jesus' body and giving him a proper burial. Everyone else are more like the disciples than the disciples. It is indeed a shameful thing. What was missing? The disciples were missing. They are not here. I remember when I was in college, I went to study in San Francisco. And one day, I think I was waiting for a train or what a bus, I don't remember what time, but I was just standing there waiting, and I think it's a Jehovah Witness guy walk up to me, and he was trying to share his gospel to me. But there's an American guy who came up to me and spoke perfect Mandarin. And I was like, can we go back to English? Because my Mandarin is so-so. And it is a shameful thing that an American sounds more like a Chinese than a Chinese. It is indeed a shameful thing. The rest, everyone else, the women, Joseph, are more like the disciples than the disciples. Remember, back then, the women are not supposed to study, to learn. They're not supposed to be follower of a teacher. But these people are more like the disciples. The disciples are missing. It's a shameful thing. They have the failure. They didn't do what they're supposed to do. But it's also interesting. Well, it doesn't mean that women are perfect, because they also didn't say it at the end. Okay, they are too fearful at the end and say, oh, where we're going. Well, when the angel talked to the woman, they're supposed to say, to tell the disciples, go back to Galilee and find Jesus. It ends with their trembling and didn't say a word. What's going on? When Jesus told them to be quiet, they keep talking. When Jesus tells them to speak, they remain silent. Isn't that shameful? Isn't that interesting that we are like that? We didn't do what we're supposed to do. Brother and sister, yes, we all happen to be like that. We all have our share of failure. Once again, we fail. Once again, we fall down. Once again, we disappointed ourselves. But I have good news to you. That's not the end. What was missing? We see that the failure of the disciples. But by what intended to say, the forgiveness of failure to the 12, Jesus is waiting ahead of us, waiting for us to follow him. Now, if I ask you to cover the Bible and ask you what happened here at the empty tomb, you probably would tell me the woman got in, right? And Jesus' body was not there. And there's an angel there speaking to them, right? Okay, the angel told them that, hey, what you're looking, he's not here. This is the empty tomb. That is exactly what happened. But Mark gave us a twist. Let's look carefully. Chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, okay, the three women, they got the spices and tried to get ready to anoint Jesus' body. Verse 2, very early on the first day of the week, after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stones away for the entrance of the tomb? Okay, they couldn't get in, right? This is telling us, yes, the male disciples, where are you guys? Okay, verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw the stone, it was very large, has been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, as they were alarmed. Mark intentionally used the word young man instead of an angel. Well, obviously we know that's an angel, but why he chose the word young man? He's sitting on the right side. Is the only of the four Gospels here he used on the right side, where Jesus sit on the right side of God, right? And he said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where he laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he had told you. Now, okay, let's slow down a little bit and see why we talk about this young man in a white robe. Okay, go back to the PowerPoint, please. Now, this clothing in the Greek word happened twice in the book of Mark. Where did it happen? Here, and also earlier, that Joseph bought the white linen cloth. But also earlier in Mark 14, when Jesus was caught, there's a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment following Jesus. When he sees him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Remember that? It was so odd that we wonder what happened. Who was this young man? When Jesus was caught, why would they bring this up? There's a young man following him wearing nothing but a blanket. But when they caught him, he's so afraid he dropped everything, right? That young man was like us. That we are supposed to carry our cross, drop everything, carry our cross, and follow Jesus. But when Jesus was on the cross, this young man dropped everything to not follow Jesus. That is exactly the opposite. The young man was nameless. We do not know who is this guy, but we see that that is a failed follower of Jesus. But now, his clothing, this word in Greek, the only time they use twice in Mark is that the clothing on Jesus' body and that young man. Okay? Now, not that yet. Young man and where? There we see this angel that he used young man here, dressed in white robe. That young man who ran away, who dropped everything to not follow Jesus, was wearing nothing. Same Greek word of young man and where. Obviously, Mark is trying to tie these two events together. Even though we know that is an angel, but he chose young man to draw the connection. And that's not the comparison end. One more. White. The white garment. Okay, this young man, this angel, was dressed in white robe, right? White, the only time elsewhere used in Mark, is when it's that transfiguration. When Jesus, his clothing become exceedingly white. So, what is Mark trying to say? I would say that young man's line, that's clothing he dropped at that time, is a shameful act. But that has become Jesus' clothing. That wrapped on Jesus' body in his death. On the cross, at his death, Jesus took on our shame. But the white garment, that exceedingly white at the transfiguration, showing God's glory, was put on the young man, this angel, as his clothing. Is white garment. We see that Jesus exchanged his glory for our shame. Brother and sister, there's forgiveness in Christ. On the cross, Jesus took on our shame and he gave us his glory. It might be shameful for us, but that's not too much. He took it on the cross and he gave us this new status. He gave us his glory so that we can continue to follow him. And do you know what's amazing? This young man, this angel said, do not be afraid, okay? He's not here. But verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Now highlighted Peter because we know that Peter is the typical of failure. That he failed, he denied Jesus for three times. Why? Tell everyone, especially Peter, tell them what? He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Remember earlier I said? The book of Mark, there's a structure, there's a journey of discipleship. It started in Galilee when Jesus called his disciples. Then they're on the way and then get to Jerusalem. They're supposed to be faithful to the end, but they didn't. So at the end of the book, Jesus said, go back to Galilee. Let's start it over again. brothers and sisters, we have a failure, but don't worry, we can start it again. We can get back to the beginning and start our journey once again. We might fail, but don't worry, there's forgiveness in Christ. You are given this chance, this second chance, third chance to follow Him again. So we see that there's the forgiveness. Did Jesus wait for us to start again? But that's not the end. The failure of disciples, we see the 12, but was missing. We didn't see the 12. We all failed. But then we see there's a forgiveness of failure. Jesus is waiting ahead for us to follow. But the faithfulness required from us, we should get back on the road. Now, why I said it's important, because when we hear that, go back to the beginning and follow again. Verse 8, trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. But it didn't say they fled to the tomb, run to the disciples. But it said, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. It's like, what's going on? They are so afraid, they said nothing to anyone. So, now if this is how the book of Mark ends, then you wondered, what's next? Of course, historically we knew what happened. Of course, we know that they did indeed tell the disciples. And we know indeed that Jesus appeared to the 12 and they inherit the mission of Christ and they went on to build a church and carry on the mission. But the way Mark ends is making us to think, what's next? What happened? This open ending. This open ending is for us. See, then what will you do as the reader? You were wondering, oh, they were afraid. They didn't say anything. So, did they go back? Did they tell the disciples? Did they start again? This is a story for us to finish. This is a story for us to continue. This is telling the reader, you and I, what we should do. When Jesus was not, when the disciples were not there with Jesus, do you know what? The reader was with Jesus all the time. In the beginning, when Jesus was getting baptized, there's a voice from heaven. The disciples didn't hear that, but the reader, we did. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, he was so alone, but the reader was there. When Jesus was rejected by his family, misunderstood by the religious leaders, the reader knew what's going on all the time. At that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was alone praying. His disciples was falling asleep. But the reader heard his prayer. When Jesus was on the cross, the disciples fled, let him die on his own. The reader was there until the end. When Jesus cried out to God in abandonment, the reader was there, and we hear that prayer. The reader was with Jesus all the time. Are we going to be faithful to the end and continue the story? Brother and sister, I would encourage you to have the courage to face our failure and have the faith to embrace God's forgiveness and have the determination to get back on the road and follow Jesus once again. We all have our share of our failure, but that's not the end. We all are given the chance to start it all over again because we've been forgiven. But the question is, are you going to continue the story? Are you going back on the journey of discipleship, of following Jesus? after I went away from my 400 meter race, I was given two chances. I could quit running, or I could get back to training again. I chose the latter. I have to once again remind myself what got me the gold medal is my fearless competitiveness, and I shouldn't let my success take away what got me here. And I did indeed, defend my gold medalist the next year, but then I hurt myself and I have to retire early. So today I no longer run on the track, but I'm still running for Jesus. I do face different hurdles. Sometimes I do better, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. But the key is always get back up and keep running. The call of Jesus is for all of us. The path of discipleship, the journey, begin once again. Let's bow down. Brother and sister, I would like to give you a moment of silence and for you to search your heart. As you look back of your life, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, have you failed in following Jesus? Have you disappointed yourself and disappointed God? But when you see your failure, do you also see God's forgiveness? As we look at the cross, do you see that Jesus took your shame and gave you His glory? Do you have the courage to face your past? Embrace this forgiveness and start the journey once again. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we apologize for our failures. We once again ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that you help us see what happened on the cross, that your Son Jesus took our shame and gave us His glory. Lord, help us to have this determination to get back on the road, to continue this journey of discipleship. Help us and protect us and enable us to be faithful to the end. Give us this humble spirit to not rely on ourselves, but also give us this courage to trust you. Help us see that Jesus is waiting for us. Let's get back on the road again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.